This evening, we'll be looking at the 11th Psalm and just briefly studying through this Psalm this evening. I do trust that it will be a blessing to you as we look at this only seven verses in Psalm 11, but it is a powerful Psalm. It's certainly an impactful Psalm, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to have the Word of God, of course, throughout the Psalms. As you study the book of Psalms, you'll find that much of the truth that is contained therein, you read just the transparency of the psalmist, the opportunity that we have to relate with the psalmist, and I love the book of Psalms. They're so encouraging and challenging, and it's amazing as you begin this particular psalm. There are seven verses, but really the first seven words of this psalm are going to serve as our title this evening. Notice it says, "In the Lord put I my trust." That is a powerful statement. It is an impactful statement. And as I look at the psalm, again, a seven-verse psalm, but those first seven words of this particular psalm are seven words that just kind of hit you square between the nose, or between the eyes, so to speak, and you begin reading the psalm, and you read the great declaration that the psalmist begins with, and he starts out, and he says, "In the Lord," you notice it's all caps, Jehovah God, the proper name of God, "in the Lord put I my trust." You know, the reality as I begin to look at this particular psalm and the seven words that David uses to begin writing this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, I find that the reality of life is that everyone is trusting someone or something. Everyone that we encounter, everyone that we interact with, they're trusting somebody. And they may mock us for trusting God, but the reality is that they're trusting someone. They're trusting a philosopher. They're trusting a scientist. They're trusting a politician. They're trusting maybe even themselves, right? And so we find that we put our trust in someone or something. And here as we begin to look at this psalm, and I've mentioned already the nature of this statement, both being a powerful statement and an impactful statement, I say, man, I need to relate with the psalmist, and I need to be in this same position where it is declared, "In the Lord put I my trust." Notice what he says as he continues to pen the words of Psalm 11. He says, "In the Lord put I my trust." And then notice this, "How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain." So the psalmist is basically, David is saying here as he's made this declarative statement to start Psalm 11, "In the Lord put I my trust," but he's saying, "How say ye to me?" There's some people, some counselors, if you will, that are saying to David, "Why don't you flee as a bird to your mountain?" You know, the reality is that there are some times in our lives that we wish we could flee from our problems. You know what I mean? Sometimes we wish, man, if I could just go away, then everything would be easier, everything would be just taken care of. But often, as you would really evaluate the reality of life, is that if you flee, your problems typically follow you. And so it's not very productive. But here, as these counselors, it's not that David is saying to himself, "Oh, that I could flee from these." He's saying that there's some, these that he's referring to, "How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain." Sometimes we feel like fleeing, but sometimes others may tell us to just get out of Dodge, so to speak. And as we look at this text of Scripture and we think about the counsel, if you will, at the end of verse number 1, I'm so thankful for the declaration at the beginning of verse number 1. If that declaration is not there, if this, I would refer to it this way, if you're taking notes, and consider just the fact that it's a settled position. David has this settled position. He says, "In the Lord put I my trust." And I think about that settled position and how imperative it is for you and I, as the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as disciples of His, to have a settled position. I have placed my trust, my confidence in the Lord. And you, we think about that song that we just sang this evening, "A Shelter in the Time of Storm." What an appropriate song for our lesson this evening. And when we think about this word trust in verse number 1, it means to seek refuge or to seek and desire to have, flee for, protection. But what David is saying is, I'm not fleeing to some place. Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord. In the Lord put I my trust. How imperative it is that we have this settled position that the psalmist speaks of in verse number 1, for the reality is that there will be troubles in our lives. There will be times in which we encounter difficulties and troubles when some may say to us, why don't you just flee? At times we may feel like, I wish we could just flee. You remember Job? Remember all the problems that he had? You read Job 1, you read all that Job suffered and all that he encountered, and you'll be mindful of this, that in verse number 9, his wife of chapter number 2, Job 2 and verse number 9, she said to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. It's interesting as you think about his response. He says to her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. He didn't call her a foolish woman. He simply said, you're speaking as one of the foolish women. In other words, sometimes we can speak as fools, right? Sometimes we can make statements when we're dealing with difficulty, when we're dealing with that, those problems in life, and we can speak as a fool speaks. Curse God and die, that's the speak of a fool. The speech of a fool. And we find here that Job then continues and says, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. I want you to understand the importance of this settled position of the psalmist when he makes this declaration, in the Lord put I my trust. Notice the circumstances that he was facing were real serious circumstances. It says in verse number 2, for lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. So all of a sudden, as we go through this text of Scripture, we're going to see the one that's upright, the one that is righteous, and then you're going to see the wicked. And the Bible tells us that as the psalmist is explaining to us, rehearsing to us the circumstances in which he's dealing with, he says that the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string. They are ready to release, they're ready to fire. They're in a ready position, and he says that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Notice what he says in verse number 3 as we continue to think about the turmoil that is being faced and the circumstances in which he's dealing with. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The reality is that the righteous should not flee. The righteous are to be bold as a lion. The righteous are not to flee. Why? Because we've put our trust in the Lord. And David, as he's writing this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he shares with us this settled position in as we begin verse number 1, and how imperative it is for each of us to have that settled position as we come to verse number 4. I would say that not only is it a settled position, but it's also an appropriate position. As a child of God, our trust should be in God. Amen? Notice what he says in verse number 4. The Lord, the same one that I've put my trust in, according to verse number 1, in the Lord put I my trust. Here's what here's how he's rehearsing. He says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. I want you to notice as he understands and he remembers the truth that God is in control. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And I'm thankful that though we deal with situations, you notice what he's just said in verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But we're mindful of the fact that our God is in control. That our God still sits upon the throne. He reigns and rules. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth, as we read in the book of Revelation. And we find here that he then continues and says that his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. It's interesting that he begins speaking about this as it will kind of carry its way through these next few verses of Scripture. Notice he says, the Lord trieth the righteous. You know, that word trieth is a word that really we read of and we're familiar with it. You don't need to turn back there, but you'll remember back in the book of Genesis when we're reading about the temptation, if you will, when the Lord tempted Abraham. It says there in Genesis 22 and verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And it's that same idea of what we read here in verse number 5, the Lord trieth the righteous. That word carries with it the idea of testing or proving, to test or prove. Someone said this, a preacher of yesteryear, they said that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Now I want you to think about the faith of the psalmist here in this settled position, and how you and I ought to have that same level of faith and trust in the Lord God Almighty. He says, in the Lord put I my trust, but it doesn't mean that everything's going to just be easy. It doesn't mean that he's come to this place of a settled and an appropriate position, and all of a sudden that means, man, I get a free pass, life is going to be easy from here on out. No. It says that the Lord trieth the righteous. He tests us. He proves us. But notice the contrast. He says in verse number 5, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Wow. I'm glad I'm not on that side of the equation, aren't you? As much as we go through life and there are times in which we say, I don't like these tests, these trials, these proving times in my life. I don't enjoy these. I don't desire these. I didn't sign up for these. I'd much rather be on that side of the equation than the other. The reality is that when we come to the book of 1 Peter and we read about the trial of our faith and all that it produces, we read and we understand that it's at that time when Peter says, if need be, we are in manifold temptations. And the reality is that if it were up to me and if it were up to you, we would never need be in need of those things, right? We'd say, nope, I don't need that. But the reality is that God knows what we need. He says here, as he continues in verse number 6, notice, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Again, I'm glad to not be on that side of the equation. I'm thankful that because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, as we speak from a New Testament perspective and being a child of God and being declared righteous and understanding our standing before Him, the reality is that I'm in a position, you're in a position this evening that our God loves us and He's not appointed us unto wrath. We read that in the book of 2 Thessalonians, or in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, we're not appointed unto wrath. We understand that the Scriptures teach us, as we've mentioned in Revelation 20 in recent message, that the second death has no power over us. We think about this settled position. We see it as being an appropriate position. You think about David and the appropriateness of the statement when he says, in the Lord put I my trust. When he understands who God is, when he understands that God is in his holy temple, when he understands that his throne is in heaven, when he understands how he tries the righteous, but he understands what the lot is, if you will, for the wicked, we find that it's appropriate for us as the people of God to say, in the Lord put I my trust. You know, God is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. We sing about trusting God. We read many verses throughout the Scriptures about trusting God. We read of those that have gone before us who place their trust in the Lord and how appropriate that is. Some trust in chariots. We read that in the Scriptures. But we find that we say our trust is going to be in the Lord. Notice as we look at verse number 7, the last verse of this short psalm, notice he says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness." Stop there just for a moment. We'll read the end of it in just a moment. But I want you to consider and just rejoice in the fact that the Bible reminds us here that God is righteous. He is the righteous Lord. He always does that which is right. He always knows what's best for each of us as His children. As parents today, there are times in which we think we know what's best for our children, and perhaps we may be right. But at other times, we could be wrong. Why? Because we are just mortal man. But God Almighty, He always knows what's right, what's necessary, what's needed. He is righteous. He is not becoming righteous. He is righteous, and we can rejoice in His nature of who He is. But notice what He says, "The righteous Lord loveth righteousness." He loveth righteousness. And then notice what the psalmist says as he ends this verse of Scripture. He says that His countenance doth behold the upright. It's interesting, as you think about the phrase His countenance, it really has the idea of His face, and the idea of beholding, doth behold, look upon, and the upright or the righteous. Remember the end of verse number 4 when the psalmist said, "His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men." And then we end the psalm with this reminder that His countenance doth behold the upright. And we can rejoice in understanding that our God is righteous and that He loves righteousness, but how comforting it ought to be to us to understand that His countenance doth behold the upright. That literally His face looks upon us. We think about David making these statements and coming to this position, and when he says, again, those first 7 words that we've used as our title for the thought, the lesson this evening, "In the Lord put I my trust." God is trustworthy. You know, David had learned this particular psalm. We're not 100% sure as to the time in which the setting is for this particular psalm. Some think that it's very early in his life when Saul is seeking to destroy him. You remember when he's standing there in the playing the harp and he's being javelins getting thrown at him and so on and so forth. And you find that it could very well be that's the setting. It could be that it's later on in his life during the problems with Absalom and all that was going on there. We begin to think about the thought of David and the what he had learned in his life, and even if it's dealing with the problems with Saul earlier in his life, that still is in 1 Samuel 18. It's the first time that we read about those problems that David had with Saul. And so even if it were that being the setting, the backdrop to this psalm, the reality is David had already learned at that point, though he was a young man, he had learned this valuable truth, this valuable position that he had, that God is trustworthy. Do you remember what he declares to Saul in 1 Samuel 17 when Goliath is challenging the armies of Israel, defying the armies of Israel? David is there, sent by his earthly father to take some goods and to see what's going on, and his brother is criticizing him, and he says, "Is there not a cause?" And remember the conversation between David and Saul, and man, Saul and the men of Israel, they're fearful every time David comes out. Every time Goliath comes out. But David stands there and he says, "God is able. God is able." Saul says, "You're not able. This guy's been a soldier, a warrior from his youth, and you're just a youth, but a youth." David says, let me tell you what God did. And he recalls when he was taking care of the sheep. And David says, "The same God that delivered me then, He's able now, and I'm trusting in the Lord." And he's trusting in God. It's interesting as you read that passage of Scripture, and I know it's a very familiar passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel 17, and you read and you can rejoice, and just it's so wonderful to see all that's taking place. But you find that David declares as he speaks to the giant Goliath, and he says, remember, Goliath says, hey, I'm going to come and I'm going to destroy you. And David says, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45. This evening, as we look at this short psalm and really fix our attention, though we've briefly gone through the entirety of the psalm, but those seven words that begin Psalm 11, in the Lord put I my trust. It was a settled position for David. He's settled. I'm trusting God. Doesn't matter what happens. I'm trusting God. And you find that it's not only a settled position, but it's an appropriate position. It's appropriate for the people of God to trust the God of the universe because He is able. You think about the children of Israel and you think about the way in which they were had the opportunity to see God do so many wonderful things. And God asked the question after the spies bring back the evil report. He asked Moses, how long will it be ere my people believe me? They're not going to trust me. Psalm 46, you don't need to turn there. I won't even read the entirety of it, but I just read the very first verse. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In other words, I believe, though he describes it in a different way in Psalm 46 and verse number 1, he's saying, I'm trusting in the Lord. And you read the next several verses in Psalm 46, and you see that basically the psalmist says, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. And as we live this life and we have this precious book, the Word of God, He has given us in this book truth with regard to who He is that should cause us to echo the words of the psalmist and say, in the Lord put I my trust. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm not going to trust other people. I'm not going to put my trust in some fill in the blank. I'm trusting in the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah. In the Lord put I my trust. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you that you're a God who has given us truth. You've revealed your nature, your character. God, we thank you that you are trustworthy. Though some at times, even as they did to the psalmist, may tell us to flee, God, help us to have this settled position. In the Lord put I my trust. We may face difficulties, trials, a time of proving, testing. God, I pray that you'd help us to be settled, to declare with confidence, in the Lord put I my trust. We believe it to be not only necessary for us to have this settled position, but we believe that it's an appropriate position. Because you are trustworthy, and we as your people ought to trust you. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We thank you for the privilege. I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts, encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us, as we just rehearse what's going on and just the opportunity to praise you for answered prayer. And then, Lord, as we seek your face fervently, knowing that you hear us and that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, pray that our faith would be increased. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.